News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The Taliban vowed on Tuesday to respect women's rights, forgive those who fought them, and ensure Afghanistan does not become a haven for terrorists as part of a publicity blitz aimed at reassuring world powers and a fearful population. Following a lightning offensive across Afghanistan that saw many cities fall to the insurgents without a fight, the Taliban have sought to portray themselves as more moderate than when they imposed a strict form of Islamic rule in the late 1990s. But many Afghans remain skeptical, and thousands have raced to the airport desperate to flee the country. Older generations remember the Taliban's previous rule when they largely confined women to their homes, banned television and music, and held public executions. A US-led invasion drove them from power months after the 9/11 attacks, which Al-Qaeda had orchestrated from Afghanistan while being sheltered by the Taliban. Zabihullah Mujahid, the Taliban's longtime spokesman, emerged from the shadows on Tuesday in his first ever public appearance to address those concerns at a news conference. He promised the Taliban would honor women's rights within the norms of Islamic law without elaborating. The Taliban have encouraged women to return to work and have allowed girls to return to school, handing out Islamic headscarves at the door. A female news anchor interviewed a Taliban official on Monday in a TV studio. Mujahid also said the Taliban would not allow Afghanistan to be used as a base for attacking other countries, as it was in the years before 9/11. That assurance was part of a 2020 peace deal reached between the Taliban and the Trump administration that paved the way for the American withdrawal. The Pentagon said U.S. commanders are communicating with the Taliban as they work to evacuate thousands of people through Kabul's international airport. It said the Taliban have taken no hostile actions there. Mujahid reiterated that the Taliban have offered full amnesty to Afghans who worked for the U.S. and the Western-backed government, saying nobody will go to their doors to ask why they helped. He said private media should remain independent, but that journalists should not work against national values. Kabul, the capital, has remained calm as the Taliban patrol its streets, but many remain fearful after prisons and armories emptied out during the insurgent sweep across the country. Kabul residents say groups of armed men have been going door to door seeking out individuals who worked with the ousted government and security forces, but it was unclear if the gunmen were Taliban or criminals posing as militants. Mujahid blamed the security breakdown on the former government, saying the Taliban only entered Kabul in order to restore law and order after the police melted away. A broadcaster in Afghanistan said she was hiding at a relative's house, too frightened to return home, much less go to work. She said she and other women do not believe the Taliban have changed their ways. She spoke on condition of anonymity because she feared for her safety. A group of women wearing Islamic headscarves demonstrated briefly in Kabul, holding signs demanding the Taliban not eliminate women from public life. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the U.S. and other governments will not simply take the Taliban at their word when it comes to women's rights. Like I've said all along, this is not about trust. This is about verify, Sullivan said at a White House briefing. And we will see what the Taliban end up doing in the days and weeks ahead. And when I say we, I mean the entire international community, he said. Whatever their true intentions, the Taliban have an interest in projecting moderation to prevent the international community from isolating their government, as it did in the 1990s. Talks continued on Tuesday between the Taliban and several Afghan politicians, including former President Hamid Karzai and Abdullah Abdullah, who once headed the country's negotiating council. The Taliban have said they want to form an inclusive Islamic government. The talks focused on how a Taliban-dominated government would operate given the changes in Afghanistan over the last 20 years, rather than just dividing up ministries. Officials with knowledge of the negotiations set on condition of anonymity to discuss the closed-door talks. A top Taliban leader, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, arrived in Kandahar on Tuesday night from Qatar, potentially signaling a deal is close at hand. The vice president of the ousted government, meanwhile, tweeted that he was the country's legitimate caretaker president. Amrullah Saleh said that under the constitution, he should be in charge because President Ashraf Ghani has fled the country. Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Tuesday chaired a meeting of the Cabinet Committee on Security to discuss the crisis in Afghanistan, which has now fallen to the Taliban. The meeting, which was held at the PM's official residence at 7 Lok Kalyan Marg, was attended by Union Home Minister Amit Shah, Defence Minister Rajnath Singh, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman and National Security Advisor Ajit Dobhal. Cabinet Secretary Rajiv Gauba, Principal Secretary to the Prime Minister P.K. Mishra, India's Foreign Secretary Harsh Shringla and India's Ambassador to Afghanistan Rudrendra Tandon, who just returned to India on Tuesday evening, also attended the meeting. Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar, however, was missing as he is currently travelling overseas. As per sources, PM Modi expressed concern over the situation unfolding in Afghanistan following a takeover by the Taliban. The Prime Minister asked officials to ensure the safe return of all Indians who are stuck in the strife-torn country, even if it means sending multiple flights to Kabul and other locations. The Prime Minister was also briefed on how India was able to bring back more than 120 people on Tuesday with the help of an IAF aircraft. According to top sources, PM Modi said that true to India's reputation, New Delhi must extend a helping hand to all Afghans. He also said, as per sources, that any Hindu or Sikh minority who wanted to return must be helped at the earliest. According to a senior official privy to the proceedings, the Prime Minister said India must not only protect our citizens, but we must also provide refuge to those Sikh and Hindu minorities who want to come to India. And we must also provide all possible help to our Afghan brothers and sisters who are looking towards India for assistance. According to sources, the CCS was also briefed in detail on the current and evolving security and political situation in Afghanistan, on the recent evacuations of Indian embassy officials and some members of the Indian community, as well as some members of the Indian media. The Indian government on Tuesday secured the return of close to 120 Indians, which also included staff of the embassy, including Ambassador Tandon, media persons and personnel from the ITBP. The flight, which took off from Kabul in the morning, made a halt for retake. The flight which took off from Kabul in the morning made a halt for refueling at Jamnagar in Gujarat before landing in Delhi. Meghalaya Chief Minister Conrad K. Sangma on Tuesday said curfew, which has been clamped here following unrest, will be lifted for daylight hours on August 18 as there were no untoward incidents in the last 24 hours. Easing of the restrictions will continue till Wednesday evening, he said. The curfew has been imposed in Shillong till 5 a.m. on August 18 and mobile internet services withdrawn in at least four districts as vandalism and arson rocked the state capital and nearby areas on Independence Day during the funeral procession of a former militant who was killed in a recent police encounter. The CM said mobile internet services will also be restored by Wednesday evening. There were no untoward incidents reported in the state capital in the past 24 hours. We are positive that normalcy will return. We will ease curfew till Wednesday evening. Mobile internet services will also be restored by tomorrow evening, Sangma said. Violence erupted in Mawlai and Jayao areas of Shillong following the death of Chesterfield Thank You, the former self-styled General Secretary of the outlawed Hainio Trip National Liberation Council, in an encounter when the police raided his home in the early hours of August 13. Thank You, who had surrendered in 2018, was shot dead when he allegedly tried to attack a police team with a knife during the raid in connection with a series of IED blasts in the state. In Shillong, two persons were injured on August 10 after IED blasts occurred, Following this, an investigation was initiated and based on the inputs, the raid was conducted, the chief minister said. Unidentified miscreants hurled petrol bombs at the residents of Sangma late on Sunday. A vehicle carrying CRPF personnel was attacked by protesters in Mavlai area during curfew hours. The state government launched a police helpline for people in need of evacuation. The Meghalaya police has set up a helpline number for citizens stranded in the state capital. While there were no untoward incidents, those who wish to get evacuated will be assisted, a senior home department official told PTI. He said three control rooms being handled by the state police are tasked with responding to evacuation calls from anyone and anywhere in the city. Meghalaya Home Minister Lakman Rambui had resigned on Sunday amid violence in the city over the police shooting of the former militant. The Meghalaya Human Rights Commission has also taken Sumo to cognizance of the encounter and asked Chief Secretary M.S. Rao to provide a report on the incident within 15 days. Sangma had on Monday announced a judicial investigation into the encounter killing of the former militant. The Assam government has also issued an advisory asking people not to travel to Shillong in the wake of the law and order situation. And javelin champion Neeraj Chopra has been the center of attention ever since his elusive gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. But it seems like the exertion has taken a toll on him. Neeraj had to leave his welcome ceremony in Panipat midway due to high fever on Tuesday. Neeraj had fever a few days ago but tested negative for corona. He just about recovered to attend the Independence Day event, but on Tuesday he had to be taken to the hospital. Neeraj is the first Indian to win an athletics gold medal at the Olympics, only the second individual gold medalist at the Olympics from the country, and a first athletics medal winner for independent India. Neeraj threw a fantastic 87.58 meters in the men's javelin throw event to win the gold medal in Tokyo. According to Times Now, Neeraj's friends and family confirmed that the golden boy was uncomfortable during the ceremony and he got down from the stage during the ceremony in Panipat. He had been attending a car rally from Delhi to Panipat since morning and the journey took 6 hours, double the usual time. Neeraj had been on medicines due to his situation and now the heat and the exertion seems to have taken a toll on him. Neeraj's family will have to wait to give him a grand welcome at home, the preparations for which were in full swing. Right everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.